R.L. Jackson, author of the Crashing and Bulwark series, the On the Set and Departed Soul series coming soon. I'm also the editor-in-chief of Indie Authors Monthly magazine. Welcome. I'm going to go ahead and introduce my co-host, Carol. She is running a little late, but she is the author of over 52 award-winning children's books. She also writes under the pen name Britt London and authored both Bulwark and The Knowing in the Bulwark anthology. She's also the creative director of Indie Authors Monthly magazine as well. Today, our guest is Katherine Hudson. She was born and raised in Colorado, adopted by South Carolina, finds a home in Vermont, and Katherine has been writing fiction for 18 years, editing for 8, and plunging in and out of reality since she first became aware of the concept. Katherine specializes in fantasy and sci-fi with a splattering of short stories that weave in and out of literary fiction. Welcome to the show, Katherine. You wear many, many hats. So what are some of them, and how do they help enhance your writing?
Hi, RL. Yes, at first, thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here. So many hats, yes. I've actually found that all of them intersect and actually help improve each other. So I write my own fiction, obviously. It's dark fantasy and sci-fi. And I have some speculative thrillers as well, which is very fun. And then I also am an independent freelance editor, mostly of fiction manuscripts for other authors, but I kind of do a little bit of everything in terms of editing. I also handle, the formatting for ebooks and layout design for paperbacks, and I do some indie publishing consulting for first time indie authors just starting out in their indie publishing careers. So I do a little bit of everything with all those hats, and each one of them has given me incredible insight into how to improve all the work in every other area of what I do. Most specifically, it's being an editor and an author. Gaining more experience every time I edit a manuscript obviously improves my work as an editor, but it also greatly improves my work as a writer when I'm constantly checking and commenting and improving someone else's work. Those things stick with me in my head. So I move forward in my own writing almost as if I had my own editor giving me notes. It's constantly in my head. And vice versa, the more I write, the more I understand about what needs to happen within my work as an editor. And it improves communication with authors, and I absolutely know both sides of the coin, so it really helps with that open communication with my clients who are authors, because I know exactly what it's like to have a finished draft and send it off to an editor and sit there biting my nails about it, wondering what they think.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, my co-host, Carol, she's on the line now. Carol?
Yeah, thank you. Welcome to the show, Katherine. I had some technical difficulties. It's nice to hear that you do so many things like that, and I think that it probably helps your writing, doesn't it, the fact that you know how to edit?
Absolutely, yes. Hi, Carol. Glad you joined us. It definitely improves my writing. It goes both ways. I am fortunate to be able to do both keep growing and aiming higher and improving as an author, and then also to help others do that as well in sort of a more of a behind-the-scenes capacity.
RL, wouldn't you love to have an editor at home too? I mean, like, that's got to be the hardest job on any book is finding those edits, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, it depends on the book and the draft I'm getting. But I enjoy it a lot. It's great.
Awesome. Daughters of, I'm sorry, what were you going to say?
That I was going to ask you if you had asked the question about Daughter of Draken yet.
No, I was just getting ready to. Daughters of Draken was described as Jungle Book meets Kill Bill with dragons. How so, and do you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with it. It's actually one of the best short descriptions I had ever heard, and it didn't come from me. I didn't come up with that one, so I can't take the credit for it, but I absolutely love that description. And, you know, so it breaking this apart a little bit, Daughter of the Draken has some parallel themes and sometimes plot a little bit with the classic Jungle Book story, in that Kilin, the main character, is human, and she was she's grown up with dragons in the High Hills, who are, they are my version of dragons, and they are highly intelligent and incredibly powerful, and communicate with their minds and colors and images. They don't speak, and there's no shape-shifting at all, but she was raised by them and not entirely accepted as one of them because she is a human. So that runs, you know, along the lines of the Jungle Book and Mowgli being raised by wolves and the animals in the jungle, and not really belonging to either the creatures who have raised these characters into being who they are, and, you know, their origins, right? Human civilization, essentially. I loved the Kill Bill part of this description, because Daughter of the Draken and Mother of the Draken, it's a sequel in this duology, are both pretty much just as bloody as the Kill Bill movies. There are a lot of high-intensity fight scenes and action scenes, and you know, in Kill Bill there are more than one strong female character, but Kilin is the strong female character in this duology, who doesn't need anybody's help and doesn't want anybody's help, and she's on a mission to sort of avenge the dragons and release herself from these blackouts that she's been having, and she doesn't want anyone to control her. So it runs similarly with that in terms of, you know, Uma Thurman's role in the Kill Bill movies. So it's, I absolutely love the description. And then, of course, dragons, you know, who doesn't like that?
Well, dragons are like the creature of the hour. There's a lot of stuff coming out about them now. But reviewer Jen O said, the story is painted with wide brushstrokes of mystery and adventure. Excellent. You literally feel as if you've pulled the curtains back and gazed into a well-established environment. So you created a world, you know. How did you come up with these mm-hmm. worlds, and are they based on anything familiar in your life?
They are... based on at least the mountainous regions where these dragons live, and where Kilin, the main character, grows up, and you know, climbing cliffs and running through forests and basically doing everything a wild creature would do, except she can't fly. I based that off of a period of years in my childhood where I lived in Pine, Colorado. My dad had an old log cabin that was built in, I think it was 1917. And, you know, on the weekends and during the summer, as kids, we were just allowed to, you know, step out the back door and go run free. I'm not sure if kids these days can do that anymore, because, you know, we would run through the mountains and climb over fences, and, you know, there were caves and cliffs and huge thick forests, and we were outside all day, and all we had to do is, you know, we came home when we were hungry and we came home before dark. The high hills specifically, and all the mountainous regions in Daughter of the Draken and Mother of the Draken very much were based on my experiences living in Pine, Colorado, which is pretty far up in the Rocky Mountains.
It sounds like an ideal childhood.
Parts of it were, absolutely. I definitely enjoyed living up there, for sure.
So this is RL. My question next, or actually my statement is, book lover says of Sanctuary of Delin, the unclaimed book one, this story has some elements of traditional chosen one fantasy books, but also deviates in fun and fresh ways. What are some of the fun and fresh ways you think they were talking about?
Oh, in the Unclaimed series. Wonderful. So the in terms of the chosen one aspect of Karen's journey, and Karen is the male main character of this trilogy and actually the first male main character that I ever have written, which I found to be so much fun. He follows the sort of chosen one trope, but in all the wrong ways. So no one is sure that he's the chosen one. He doesn't want to be, and he doesn't know how, and he has absolutely no idea where he came from. He grew up as a ward of the Iron Pit, to the blacksmith, essentially. So he was pretty much a slave, and he is given his freedom, and he has this ability. Well, he has an effect on inanimate objects, and they always move in his presence, and he thinks they're trying to kill him. So he's really he's institutionalized to a great extent, and he doesn't know what he's doing or really anything about the world, and he's just trying to find sort of an anchor in his newfound freedom that he never really expected to have in his life. And so in terms of that chosen one, Delin is actually the character on the front of all three covers, and she is in the beginning, I describe her as a woman child, and she is, she looks like a woman on the outside, and then she thinks and speaks and acts like a child in her mind. She's trapped in there, and Karen comes to care for her in this way, and becomes sort of like a brother, an older brother figure to her, and then she reveals herself to him eventually as she's actually this incredibly ancient, omniscient, all-powerful being, and has chosen him in a sense to be her protector. And all through his journey, Karen has absolutely no idea what he's doing, and I think I definitely put him through more pain and agony and confusion than I have any of my other characters. He really got beat up through this. And so I did, I realized that I had that traditional chosen one theme in these books, and I really enjoy flipping these tropes of fantasy right on their heads upside down. So he's anti-hero, but more of just the failing hero, if that makes sense.
RL, do you mind if I say something here?
Yeah, go ahead.
That's like the new trend in publishing. We didn't get to ask you if you're indie or a hybrid yet, but I think the fact that you can put genre on its head and mix them up. Years ago, you were either sci-fi or you were fantasy, or you were. Isn't that interesting now that you can kind of massage genres and do what you want with them rather than what we're being told to do?
Absolutely, and I mean, that's one of the biggest reasons why I have, why I enjoy indie publishing so much and being an indie author, is because I can, to a certain extent, we can do whatever we want. Yes, we can pick out the elements of the genres in which we write and mold them into our own version of it. Of course, every genre has its necessary elements, right? Unless we're writing a mashup of a bunch of different things, which have also become actually pretty popular. But I definitely enjoy having that ability to stretch my own craft and challenge myself in terms of still getting lovers of, you know, traditional fantasy to enjoy kind of these new twists on stories that we've seen before everywhere. Was there another part to that question? I meant to say I am completely indie author. I'm not hybrid yet. We'll see what happens.
Awesome. So what do you like? So is that like a goal for you to be a hybrid author? Or do you want to stay strictly indie?
Well, I have not written off being a hybrid author as a possibility by any means. Coincidentally, Daughter of the Dragon was my first book that I wrote and the first book that I queried to traditional agents. And it was rejected by 116 agents. So I actually weren't any more that I found that I could submit to. I sent it to all of them. That's what made me decide to indie publish this book, and that started my career in 2015. And less than a year later, Daughter of the Dragon became a dark fantasy bestseller on Amazon, which was incredibly exciting. And the only other one of my books that I queried to traditional publishing agents as well was Sleepwater Beat, and that's my speculative LGBT thriller, and the last, and it was the only other manuscript that I queried, and it was also rejected across the board, and that became my second bestseller too. So I feel like I've got something going there, and I will continue to query agents for certain books that I write, and you know, within the whole process, my query letter writing abilities have improved drastically since the very first ones that I sent out years and years ago. So if I happen to be offered, you know, an agreement with an agent and even a publishing contract traditionally, I would take it, at least to see, to experience that side of it. But I also very much enjoy being an indie author and indie publishing under my own imprint, and I definitely wouldn't give it up.
It you know, my son is traditionally published, and I'm now a traditional. I've published twice. I'll be publishing another book with a traditional publisher, and it's a way different experience. I kind of like being an indie, because you, like we talked about before, you get to do whatever you want. You know, they have guidelines, and they'll come in and slash and take apart a lot of what you have. And, the deadlines are, you know, way different, and it's not what you think. The deadlines are slower. It could take 2 years to get a book out, where here, RL and I published an anthology. What did we do it in? 3 months, RL, with eight other authors.
Basically. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we were able to put. Mm-hmm. Everybody was able to put together a book. So, you know, with the indie versus high, that's, we've got to do a show on that. There's a whole lot there. You know, where do you come up with the inspiration for your characters?
Oh, they come to me from everywhere. You know, I used to do a lot of people watching. Being an introvert has allowed me to do that a lot more, I think, where I would rather sit quietly by and watch everyone else do what they're doing, and not always want to be involved in the conversation myself. I'll sit on characters and ideas for quite a while before I start writing them. So I was immediately drawn to Keelan's character from Daughter of the Dragon when I first started writing her story. because, well, when I first started writing these books, I was in high school. So that's a whole different realm of, you know, emotions and experiences. And I loved the fact that she was so independent and that she could do pretty much whatever she wanted, and that she was fierce and unstoppable and just really all around. I mean, she's terrifying in a lot of ways and aggravating in so many other ways, but she was her own person. And even though she didn't know who she was truly, where she came from, she knew exactly who she was internally and what she wanted and where her loyalties were. And that sort of, you know, that stemmed her character. And really most of the time I'm a pantser, so I don't plot out or outline anything. I'll start a project with an idea of a character or a scene or some kind of emotion that I want to explore. And when it feels like it's been sitting for long enough in my head, I'll start writing and just watch where the story and the characters take me. So none of my characters have ever turned out to be exactly what they were when I started writing them. And that's one of my favorite parts. The plot doesn't even turn out to be exactly what I imagined in the beginning. So the process of writing and exploring these characters and worlds and situations without knowing what's going to happen myself is my favorite part of doing this. So I couldn't exactly say where I get inspiration from my characters from. But there's, you know, there's so much in the world with interacting with people and speaking with people, and then just, you know, personal experiences. There are quite a bit of my own qualities and characteristics that I put into each of my characters, which I also very much enjoy. I would hope that nobody picks up on that. It's not too completely obvious, but I'd say they come from everywhere, collection of everything.
Awesome. So what's next for you? Do you have any signing events coming up? What's your next book?
My next book coming up, I am currently writing a new dark fantasy series. This is called Vessel Broken, and the first book in the series is Imlock Fractured, and that is scheduled to come out in September this year. And the other books in this series will closely follow after that. The Vessel Broken series takes place in the same world as the Unclaimed series with Sanctuary of Delin and its sequels. But it is quite a bit darker and somewhat may lean towards the horror side of things. I'm really excited for it. I've got another completely brutal and ferocious female main character for this series. And that's what I'm working on. It's loosely related in the same world as The Unclaimed. And I think anyone who has read The Unclaimed trilogy will be able to pick up on the overlap. There's not a lot, but there's a little bit. So I'm excited to see my current readers getting into the Vessel Broken series. I'm looking forward to hearing whether or not they have found the similarities and can put the pieces together. And that's kind of fun as well. I'm making a puzzle out of this a little bit.
Awesome. So can you go ahead and provide your links to your books so that the people listening know where to find you?
Yeah, absolutely. All my books are available to purchase in paperback on my website, which is also fun to check out. That's KatherineHudsonFiction.com. And I'm on Facebook at Katherine Hudson Fiction, Instagram at Katherine Hudson Fiction, Twitter at KLH Create Work. All six of my books are available across the board on pretty much every single platform. So So wherever people like to buy their books, just look me up and you'll see everything there.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Catherine, and spending this time with us. It's been amazing getting to know more about you and your books. To our listeners, remember, if you want to stay up to date with Catherine and find out more information about her, please visit www.catherinehutsonfiction.com. That's KatherineHutsonFiction.com. You can also find her on Facebook at facebook.com/KatherineHutsonFiction. And this is R.L. Jackson saying so long for Carol P. Roman as well. We'd like to thank our guest again, Katherine Hutson, and all of our listeners. And we hope that you'll tune in for another Indie Authors Roundtable, where we bring the latest in books, authors, and indie publishing to the table. Don't forget to catch the latest issue of Indie Authors Monthly magazine, available on Magster.com. And have an amazing day, and see you next time.
Blog Talk Radio.